Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 360. Today, Andrew asks, let's talk about basic skills, but with a bit of granularity. What skills does every new self-published author need to have, and in what order should one develop them? I mean, it's fine to say that everyone needs to know how to write, publish, and market. That's obvious enough. But if you were to break that down into its main subsidiary components, and given that one can't do everything all at once, then what would those components be, and what order would you take to address them? Oh, boy. Andrew, you don't screw around, do you? Let's see. I'm going to jump around a bit here. The order in which I would do things is, one, write like the wind. Get practice under your belt. Become a good enough writer. Become a good writer. Submit short stories to magazines, whatever. When you have your voice, when you found your voice and you feel comfortable with your writing, or at least you've developed it into a habit of writing every day, you've got 500,000 or more words under your belt, then at that point I think it's time to start developing your other skills. So let's talk about the writing skills. You need the basics of communication, of course. You need to understand how to construct a sentence and a series of sentences so that they communicate a thought. You need to know how to express yourself, how to paint an image in someone's head, at least on a basic level. The basic skills of writing fiction, beyond just writing in the English language or whatever language your native language is, are character, setting, story, conflict, and dialogue. Those are the main areas to concentrate on. Characterization, conflict, setting, story, dialogue. Story structure, really. Work on creating those things. Get those skills down deep in your bones. Now, they are infinite skill sets. You can always get better at all of them, no matter how good you are. One of the things that makes this job so much fun. But you want to have at least a passing familiarity with all of those things before you consider yourself having sort of graduated from your bachelor's level program as a novelist. And you want to have a couple novels under your belt, too. Now, you learn these things by observation, education, and practice, all three of them. Observation comes from your consuming stories as an audience. You read something in another person's fiction. And for some of this stuff, you can also study film. But let's focus on the printed word right now. You read something in someone else's fiction, you notice how it affects you emotionally. You say, I want to do that. So when you find yourself being seriously affected by someone's fiction, they're doing something really important. And you want to pay attention to it. You want to study what they're doing. Read it over and over again until you sort of get a real deep feel for what's going on. This is one of those tools that will stay with you for life. It's very useful for studying technique. When you're just starting out, what you want to do with this technique is understand what's going on rather than to imitate it. You can try imitating it, and it's actually a very good idea. But noticing it is the first step. Understanding it's the second step, and imitating it's the third step. Then implementing it in your own fiction is the fourth step. That's observation. Education is stuff like listening to this podcast or reading books by writers about plot structure and characterization and language usage and descriptions and all that sort of stuff. And also, under education, is attending writers' workshops, not peer review workshops particularly, but workshops that are given by professional writers who are a lot further along the curve than you are and who will give you the kind of feedback you can use to grow along whatever axis you're willing to grow. Tutelage, that sort of thing. Pick your mentors carefully, because you want someone not just who's better than you, and better than you along the lines that you're willing to grow, but someone who's got a temperament you can learn from. Some people learn very well from the hard confrontational type of teacher. Some people need a much softer touch. Figure out where you are on that spectrum and look for teachers that you can learn from. However, be prepared that no matter how soft the touch, if your teacher is being honest with you, they will hurt your feelings from time to time. They will find things you're doing that don't work. And when that happens, and you get upset by it, do not run away. Dive in, engage, probe them, ask them to explain things if you don't understand. Figure out exercises for yourself to improve those things if you do understand and you're just not comfortable with it or upset. Sometimes they'll give you feedback where they're correct about the story, but they're delivering feedback in a way that isn't directly helpful to you because they are intuiting something about what you're trying to do that's not correct. So in those instances, when it feels like they're spotting something real, but you're not understanding what they're saying, you have to interrogate them. Sit them down to coffee, have a discussion, go round and round. I've had this happen a couple of times. Some of the most valuable conversations I've ever had as a writer were untangling some very profound criticisms from mentors in workshops who delivered the criticisms in ways that didn't make any sense to me at all. But I cornered them after the workshop and engaged them in a conversation until I understood what they were saying. Very, very important. And then practice. The things that you want to work on, you have to practice. You have to get feedback on the practice. Feedback doesn't mean someone criticizing every line you do, though that can be helpful sometimes, especially if you're in a really weak area. Or, even more important, if you're working on something that you think you understand, but you're not nearly as good at it as you think you are. You need that feedback loop so that you can close it. And what you're looking for is to understand audience reaction to what you're doing. You may be intending to convey a certain emotion, a certain story point, a certain sort of characterization, and your audience is reacting very differently than you would expect. You need to understand why they're reacting the way that they are so that you can learn from it. This is the equivalent of physics in basketball. To learn to be a good basketball player, you don't need a coach. You need a hoop. And as long as you play with that ball and try to do things with it that were impossible for you a few days ago, you will learn. Because if the ball goes through the hoop, you've made the shot. If the ball doesn't fly away from you when you dribble or try to do a trick, you've done it right. You can always do it better, and sometimes you may want to bring a coach in, but to get yourself from new to competent, you don't usually need a coach in basketball, and writing is the same way as long as you can gauge reader reaction, or at the very least, your own reaction as a reader, and that's really, really hard, and some people can do that. They can never give themselves the actual reaction that an audience would, but they can give a piece of it. Other people just can't. They've got no objectivity as opposed to just a smidge of objectivity. So you do want readers to react to what you're doing. So that takes care of the writing stuff. You want to study those things in those ways, get your practice and your words in, and always work to improve. You're going to start out awful, and you're going to get better as you go. Now, for marketing. There's two different levels of marketing. Both are important. As a new writer, the first thing you want to concentrate on isn't the salesmanship. It's market presence. Good salesmanship is essential to good marketing if you've got a good market presence in the first place. If you don't have a good market presence, the best salesmanship in the world will only get you so far. So what do I mean by market presence? I mean you have covers and sales copy on your book that give your readers an accurate expectation of the kind of experience they'll get out of reading the book. And by your readers, I mean people who happen by your book without ever having heard your name before. This means you have to learn about genre and how genres are divided currently and how they may be changing, because they do change from time to time. You need to keep an eye on the best-selling covers in the genres in which you're working, because those are the covers that are catching people's interest. And those change frequently. every 6 months to 2 years, depending on the genre, what is appropriate for your genre cover-wise will start to change. Every 5 years or so, you can reliably count on perhaps needing to redo your covers, depending on what's going on. But you want to plug into the book market the way a car enthusiast would plug into the car market. If you love cars and you watch automotive advertising and car shows and you read Road and Track, you can tell by the font they're using what kind of car they're advertising, who they're trying to appeal to, whether or not it's something you even want to look at. Book covers and sales copy do exactly the same kind of thing. So the first part of marketing to learn is your market awareness. You want to understand how people sell things in that space. Once you have your market presence, your understanding of how the market works in terms of the presentation and that sort of thing, then you want to move on to your marketing. These are the active things you do to create a tribe, engage an audience, stuff like that. For things like that, you want to go to people like Seth Godin, Joanna Penn. You want to look at Seth Godin, Joanna Penn. You want to look at things, or you want to look at what people like Scott Sigler do to engage their audience. That's a whole massive field all on its own. But that's what people mean when they say marketing, and that includes advertising and contests and promotions and mailing lists and websites and blog tours and book tours and getting into bookstores, anything you can imagine, that's marketing. So market presence first, then work on marketing. Publishing. The publishing skills you need as an independent author are actually pretty simple. There's three sets. Set one, you need to learn how to write an ebook. You can use Vellum if you're so inclined. A lot of people are liking that. Or you need to learn HTML and CSS and use a program like Sigil or, frankly, a notepad. You can write a good ebook in a notepad. An ebook is just a zip file filled with HTML and CSS. It's very straightforward. If you can edit website code, you can edit an ebook. Doesn't mean you can necessarily put a good one together without a little practice, but if you want a shortcut, use Vellum. If you don't want a shortcut, and there are reasons you might not want one, learn to code your own stuff. And in fact, I'm a belt and suspenders kind of guy. I tend to think it's always good to know how to code your own stuff in case the version of the software you're using starts churning out buggy ebooks. Then you can at least open the zip file and fix them. Or you can use Sigil and just open the whole EPUB and fix them. You also need to learn how to do paperback layout or how to find someone who knows how to do paperback layout. This is a little stickier. It can go a whole bunch of ways. You can do the InDesign route. You can do the Scribus route. Those are graphical layout programs that are designed for someone who knows how things should look but doesn't know a thing about code to do. Very easy to use, kind of time-consuming. Vellum is starting to do paperbacks. I've heard mixed results, but I would guess that in about a year from now, maybe two at the outside, they're going to be push-button once you've got an ebook. Hey, you've got a paperback too, and it looks fantastic. You can learn LaTeX, which is a markup language like HTML is. We're starting to implement that in-house here. Once we've got a couple of books through it and we know how to do it, we're going to do a special episode on this. But Nathan Lowell turned me on to this because we've been doing graphic layout here for years, and it's ridiculously time-consuming. We get really good results out of it, but it's ridiculously time-consuming. Well, Nathan Lowell does all his layout in LaTeX just by converting his ebooks. Takes him about an hour to do a paperback once he's done his ebook, and his ebook takes him about half an hour. So 90 minutes, he gets a paperback and an ebook, at least the interiors. And he's finally convinced me to take the leap, so we're switching our studio over to doing that for our novels. I will definitely keep you guys up on how that goes. So that's another way that you can learn paperbacks. Of course, you do need to learn or find someone who knows how to do covers as well. Cover design and layout, wraparound covers for paperbacks, the whole bit. That's your packaging. Very, very important to your publishing. The third set of skills you can learn for publishing or not, if you're not so inclined, is audiobook production. I have a book on this. It's called Making Tracks, A Writer's Guide to Audiobooks and How to Produce Them. If you're interested in audiobooks, either in hiring them done yourself or in doing them yourself, you want to pick up this book because I go through from soup to nuts. It's designed for someone who has never dove into audio at all, except maybe heard radio dramas on the radio. Goes through the history of the art form, everything you need to know to produce top-notch audiobooks, whether you're on a budget or not. And you can use this information to do one of three things. You can use it to teach yourself to be a good audiobook narrator, and we've got some questions that I'm recording later tonight that deal specifically with that. You'll hear them in a few days on the feed here. You can use that information to train yourself to be a good producer. And if you're a good producer, but not a good reader, you can hire a reader for a fraction of the cost you would otherwise pay, because production is about two-thirds of the total workload for creating an audiobook. The actual reading is one-third. So you can hire the voice talent for cheaper than you otherwise would if you're able to put in the sweat on the back end and they don't have to edit it. Or you can hire it all out at a price, but once you understand how things are done, you're a much more informed consumer and you can pick producers a lot better. Or you can do it all yourself. Either way, you want to learn how the audiobook market works so that you can make sure that you get audiobooks of your books up and on the market, because that has algorithmic advantages as well as people do buy audiobooks. It's a hell of a growing market. So that's the stuff that you need to learn in publishing. So that's the stuff that you need to learn in publishing and in writing, and that's the order in which I would do them. There's good arguments to be made for doing them in different orders. For example, learning the publishing first, so that by the time you've got books that are really up to snuff, you can start selling them heavily right out of the gate. I know a few people who've done that, done better financially than I have, so that may actually be better advice. I've temperamentally got a quality issue, right? I like to really understand what I'm doing before I do it, because when I jump into something, I jump in unreservedly and I get totally committed. So I run a lot of experiments, but you know, I set my life on a particular course and I'm really committed. It takes a lot to jog me out of that groove. So my answer to the order that I would do things in is conditioned by my temperament. The publishing stuff, the technical stuff, doesn't take very long to learn. The market awareness and the marketing takes a lot longer. So if I was advising someone who had a different temperament than me, I would probably say start with the writing right away and concurrently start paying attention to the way that books are marketed, the way that they're packaged, and start learning everything you can about the supply chain and the general shape of the market, so that when you get to the point where you're ready to start publishing and selling your books, you won't be going from a standing start, but you'll be going from a running start. In fact, if I had it to do over again, that's probably the way I would do things. But when I started writing seriously, I still had one foot in the film world, so my business focus was over there. Which brings me to the other thing I think everyone ought to learn. This is not writing or publishing, this is business. You need to learn copyright law, and I would start with that the moment you decide you want to start writing. Because it can actually affect the way you write. Unintentional plagiarism is normal in early writers, and if you understand what it is and what it can cost you, you can maybe avoid some heavy rewrites a little way down the line, or some heavy license fees. Get a good basic grounding in copyright, pick up Stephen Fishman's Copyright 101, A Guide for Writers from Nolo Press. Fantastic book. If you want a really elementary understanding of copyright in the writer business, pick up my Everyday Novelist Business 101 booklet, which gets you oriented enough that you can understand Fishman's book if you're coming in this de novo, also that you can just get your general business bearings in the writer world. It's a great question, Andrew. I hope that my answer was helpful. It's always good to hear from you. Please send in more as you can. And I will see all of you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.